All right, well, I think we've got a few online here by the looks of it. It is just after three, so we've got in Cape Town, we have Tindai, who's going to be leading us there, the presentation. We've got myself, Carl, Tariro, and Gloria, and I see we've got Emily and Daniel online. I'm just wondering if anybody else has joined us at this stage.
This is Shankar from.
Right. Well, I think we're coming through. I see Michelle's just viewing, and just going to see if we can get any of our team online. Okay, well, we'll get started from here. So thank you, everybody, for joining us today. For the sake of the minutes, this is a recorded meeting, and what we're hoping to do is that the recording of today's presentation will start to become made available online as part of a growing resource library to support countries in understanding how to better implement and maintain their implementations of visas. So the audio at least will be available, and so will the slides afterward. We're hoping that the screen recording comes through in this too. So as mentioned earlier today,
make up with disaster recovery plan. Sorry. Okay. So I'll start with the business overview. Maybe for some of us who are new here, we'll discuss what is business. Then I'll look at the business, business backup, disaster and recovery plan. Then I'll look at what do we mean when we say data recovery and what are the typical causes of data loss. And then we'll look at what do we mean by business data loss and look at what might be the causes of business data loss where we need to now implement the business backup disaster recovery plan. And then we'll look at the facts about the data recovery and then on the software's backup and database solutions. And then lastly but not least, that's when we discuss the recovery plan. So in coming up with the backup and disaster recovery plan, it's part of the business continuity plan designed to minimize disruption to services in case of system failure and unavailability. The backup and the disaster recovery plan is used to outline the steps taken in case of system failure and how to recover the system to bring it back into operation. So in coming up with this plan, we were having a look at different international standards which we're using as a guidance to come up with this plan. So we looked at the AFSBT and the ISBT and the ABB. So these were the guidelines which we're using in coming up with this backup and disaster recovery plan. But it's also advisable that in that service, we must also not take this as a point where us from GMB would provide the technical support, but you must also have this written down in line with your SOPs as we do this backup and disaster recovery plan. Right. So looking at the guidelines of AFSBT, these are just a summary of some of the guidelines. So on ASBT, it says that there must be routine backup of critical data, and backup data shall be stored in an off-site location. So the good part about these things for us to backup data usually on a daily basis, and then we store the backup off-site so that maybe there might be a catastrophe to the original site where the production server is. Then we also, it also says that the procedures have been placed to ensure that the data is retrievable and what and usable, right? And then when you look at the ISBT standards, we also summarize those standards and say that the disaster recovery plan should be prepared detailing how the system will be recovered and brought back into what its operation. And also look at the ABB, which says that the review of information technology system and develop redundancy to ensure that vital systems and their supporting subsystems remain operational during an emergency. So these are some of the international guidelines which you use to come up with this backup and disaster recovery plan when we're using them as a point of reference in writing this plan. So now we start, you can see that those gentlemen who are busy trying to recover data from a medium. So what is business data recovery? So it is a process of retrieving deleted or inaccessible business data from the electronic storage device, which is from a lifesaver, because usually the lifesaver might be the one which crashes or which is having problems for you to access data. So by data recovery, we'll be trying to retrieve the processes or the deleted information of business from this storage media. Right? In our next slide, we look at the typical causes of data loss. Right? The first one was the electromagnetic failure. So these are the failures which are caused maybe because of an electric surge or something to do with mechanical of the computer systems, like the hard drive and the memory. And then also caused by the natural disasters, where we look at things like floods, fire, right, which are beyond the human errors, right? Then we look at the computer viruses. This is also another cause of what? And we've got what? The human error. Right. Then we now look at what is business data loss. Right. Business data loss is accidental erase or data control structures that have been overwritten, which means data has been corrupted or made inaccessible. So business data is unable to be accessed from a previous functioning computer system or backup. So this is what we mean when we say with data loss on basis, where the data has been accidentally erased or the data control structure has been overwritten, so that it is now, we are now unable to access the data, right? So that's what we mean when we say what? This is data loss. Right. So what might be the causes of the business data loss? Right, you can see there we've got the sabotage, right? The sabotage can be caused by hackers, right? Which are people which have got unauthorized access to your system, and they can penetrate your system from outside, and they can distort the what? The data. With so many reasons, like they just want to cause a sabotage, right? And also sabotage might be caused by unauthorized internal personnel, right? These are the people like who will not be supposed to be working on business, but somehow they manage to get access maybe through someone's password, and then they enter the system and then they cause sabotage. Then we've got the natural disaster, we've got fire, floods. Then we've got the hardware error, where it might be a hard drive crash or electrical outage or power, or it might be a manufacturing defect within maybe the system or the computer where the business application is running on. Then there's also the issue of malware and virus infections. Then we've got the human error, where there's what? Intentional deletion, where someone's been intentional to sabotage and to cause problems within the application, or maybe a situation where there's accidental deletion or overwriting of what? Of files. And then we've got the software corruption, where the application displays error message. We show that the application is now behaving in such a way where it is not being intended to perform. That's when we can have what? A software corruption. Right. Then the effects about data recovery in general, the majority of data loss situations are recovery. Right. So there must not be a panic if you've got what? A backup and a disaster recovery plan in place, because if this recovery plan is there and is being followed and is lining with the SOPs, there will be no need for us to panic, because we'll be able to recover that data. Then computer system storage may fail, but the data stored on them is not always completely lost. And there are occasions where the damage is permanent and complete data recovery is possible. However, some data is usually always recoverable. Then data recovery professionals can or operating system using what various data recovery tools and techniques. Then our next slide now will be looking on software and database backup solution. Right? So GEMB will provide a basic solution of backing up and restoring the what? The database. So in doing so, a full system backup and restore will be provided where an image of the live server will be done by the implementer and then to be shared with what? With the blood services. As for the database, an automatic cron job is created on the live server, but it is the blood service responsibility to download it every day to backup on the media, which also they might even store offsite. Right, so you can see there we'll be referring back to our AFSBT standard we have discussed earlier, that the live system, it will be doing an automatic backup at intervals, right? But it is the responsibility now of the blood service to make sure that they download this backup from the system and they store it on an external hard drive. Then the backup should also be stored offsite and the intervals will be determined by the what? By the blood service. But usually, on live server, the backup usually is done when there's less volume, which means the times which are after hours, where people will not be long working during the day. That's when the system can do what? Database backup. Right. So what can you do to backup the system and do a data recovery plan? So referring to the AFSBT standards, you do a periodic database backup. And what you mean by this is the production database will be backed up daily and stored on a computer or hard drive located offsite from the production server in a secure environment to ensure that the safety of the backup in the case of disaster at the site where the production server is what is working. Right? So this is like you do a backup daily, right, on a hard drive located offsite from production server, right? And by doing so, we'll be trying to make sure and safeguard that, that maybe something might happen at the site where the live server will be. So if we have a backup which is stored what offsite, we'll be able to recover that what that there will be no need for what for spanking that you might lose data. Then the backups will be tested periodically to validate the recovery process using what these database backups. Right. So to test recovery from the database backups, the staging server must be used. But if the application version on the production and the testing and the staging instance is matched, so it is not the case an alternative plan is needed to provide an instance for the system to test. Right. So here it just says, for us now to test the database backups, right? The staging server may be used, but this only limited if the application versions of what of the staging server and the live server instance what match. But if that's not the case, an alternative plan needs to be provided instance for the system to test recovery. So to test recovery, the most recent database backup should be used, and the database running on the recovery test server should be backed up and removed, and the database backups will be loaded onto the system to validate that the system performs as expected using what? These backups. So here it will be just a processing of make sure that the test plan which you've done with the database, and then we'll compare if it's still performing the same as it was doing before. Right? Then after that, following this validation of the recovery test procedure, the database backup should be removed and restored back to the initial database running on the recovery test plan. So in the case where the validation of the recovery test procedure and database backups fails, the database backup procedure should be reviewed to ensure it is running properly without what? Without issues. So now we've done the periodic, now we are now on disaster recovery procedure. So remember, we are still on what you need to do the what? Database backup and what? in the disaster recovery. Right. So in the case of system or server failure or other disasters that prevent the use of the production server, steps will be taken to ensure to set up a new replacement of the production server. And the temporary system will be set up on an alternate or staging server to ensure system continuity. So to set up a temporary system, assume that the server has already been set up with what with this application running on it and using the same application version, the production server. So the most recent database backup should be used when restoring the what the system. So when you say the most recent backup would mean the most recent, like for example, the database which has been carried on, maybe let's say if the system is scheduled to run at 12 noon every day. So the latest one was it will be the one which you need, not the one the previous one made for last week or for the previous day. Then if a temporary system is unavailable, a continued action plan will be implemented to ensure critical data is still captured using other means. So in the case where temporary server was put in place, the database will be backed up from there and used to restore the new production server database. Otherwise, the most recent database backup should be used when restoring what? The system. And also, back entry will be required depending on the time the systems what went down. So, thank you everybody. I've come to the end of the presentation. So if you have any questions, we are waiting for those. Any questions? Maybe Linda, you might like to add something on the...
Yeah, the one thing that I just did want to add is sort of one of the final points, but one of the things that is important, sort of unrelated to the technical issues, but having an SOP in place to make sure that you still have some means of capturing data using your paper systems while the system is down and disaster recovery, just to make sure that you can still operate and that you can still capture that important data.
Thank you, Linda, for the contribution. Daniel, do you have something to add on?
Much from my side, I think that was kind of covered it all. Thanks so much for running that presentation. I think as Linda mentioned, it is definitely part of the broader kind of business continuity plan and ensure that, you know, things don't fall apart when there is a system failure or, you know, external kind of issues that could cause the system to be inaccessible. So kind of want to definitely make sure that from the technical perspective things are covered, but it should always kind of tie back to the SOPs and making sure that there are kind of, you know, standard practices in place to kind of know how to deal with these things and when to pick up on these procedures. Thanks.
Thanks, Daniel.
Hello, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Michelle.
Yes. Hi. I'm Michelle from BBC. I just had a quick question. I'm not sure if it was mentioned earlier. This backup recovery plan, is it being taught during the implementation process, or is this a separate process that you will be leading the implementers through?
Yes, it is part of the implementation process. Because we would like to be in a situation that if there is a data loss, we'll be in a position to recover that data and restore the daily normal operations.
So all of these countries have either a staging server or some type of alternate server that they're currently using when they go live to do the backups. I'm just trying to understand process-wise. It's already in place for these countries?
Yes, with most of our implementations in countries, all the required hardware and software to do the backup and the restoration are in place.
Okay, and, great. And then
particularly with the... Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, particularly with the AFSBT accreditation, it does kind of state that this process is needed. So it does tie into that accreditation process. So there's different kind of levels of how technical you can get with the recovery in kind of automating it or having a more manual procedure. But definitely, I think, you know, all countries do have some form of backup and disaster recovery plan in place.
Okay. And how do you think about doing multi-site? Does this change at all, the recovery plan? Do you have to set up a new system, or pretty much what is in place now will be still in effect for when you start going to different sites?
Thanks. I think that's a great question. And we kind of have anticipated one of the benefits with starting to look at multi-site is that it introduces some form of data synchronization, which would also kind of function not only in making sure that sites are able to communicate with each other, but also potentially automating the backup process. So you could have a third, consider your backup site as a third site where everything gets pushed there as a backup. So I think definitely is when we start looking at multi-site, these processes are likely to change for the better, and site that would support this process a bit better.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Any other questions?
So if there are no other further questions, I think we can call it a day. Thank you for joining the call, and I'll be sending out the